When Jesus walked the earth, people couldn't but take an interest in him. As he went about ministering, crowds were drawn to him. How could they not? They were astonished at his teaching. They were amazed at his miracles. It all came with such power and authority. What Jesus said and what he did was simply out of this world. Even up until today, the enormity and the impact of his words and his deeds, frankly, have been unparalleled. No wonder people went to great lengths and trouble to get just a glimpse of him, to hear him, to touch him, or to just be in his presence. Those who got to do with him, or who even just heard of him, were intrigued by him. For various reasons, he excited people's curiosity and their attention. It's fair to say that Jesus captured the imagination of people like no one else in history. And they wondered, who is this man? One of these inquirers were none other than King Herod himself. He took an interest in Jesus for his own particular reasons. He grappled with this very same question, who is this of whom I hear these things? This morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 9, verse 7 to 9, to consider the interest that Herod showed in Jesus and how he grappled with this all-important question about Jesus' identity. And as we do that, we'll weave in some lessons and applications. So let's get into the text. Luke chapter 9, verse 7a. Now Herod the tetrarch heard all about what was happening. As soon as Jesus set off on his ministry in Galilee, the news spread throughout the surrounding region. Soon the reports reached every place in the region. It didn't take long for the word about Jesus to go all the way to Sidon in the north and to Jerusalem in the south. The point is this, within the first year and a half of Jesus' ministry, he became famous in Israel and beyond. He was certainly a household name in Galilee. His fame reached the ordinary homes and it went to high places. In Luke chapter 8 verse 3, we saw that Joanna, the wife of Herod's estate manager, became a very devoted follower of Jesus. So the news broke through to the people in Herod's palace. It could hardly be kept a secret because by now, as we know, Jesus sent out his 12 apostles throughout the villages, preaching and healing people everywhere in the name of Jesus. This was a clean sweep operation in Herod's own backyard, so to speak. And Herod, he became well aware of everything that was going on. The talk and the testimonies of Jesus' life-changing message and miracles didn't escape his attention. He would have lived with his head buried in the sand if it was otherwise. Before we look at what he made of this continual news feed about Jesus, we need to say something about the man that was Herod. Now, Herod is identified in our text as Herod the Tetrarch. What's a tetrarch? It's a ruler of a fourth of a region or a kingdom. After the death of his father, Herod the Great, the kingdom was split into four parts. And his son, Herod the Tetrarch, was given charge over one of those parts, which included the provinces of Galilee and Perea. So Herod the Tetrarch, also called Herod Antipas, was a kind of a miniature king, a midget king. Mark refers to him as King Herod. Now, Herod probably quite liked the idea of being a king. But the reality was that he was only a puppet king under the thumb of the emperor Tiberius. Anyway, Herod the Tetrarch had a long career. It spanned all the way from about Jesus' second year, that was just after he was born, till after Jesus' death. He was the man. But Herod wasn't a pure Jew. He was of mixed blood. And he wasn't a legitimate heir to the Jewish throne either. And this sore fact didn't exactly make him popular among the Jews. And doing indiscriminate things like building his capital city on a Jewish cemetery and calling it Tiberius in honor of the Roman Caesar didn't earn him any love from the Jewish people. As the saying goes, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. So it was with Herod Antipas. He had the same wicked traits as his father, Herod the Great. For instance, his father had all the baby boys slaughtered at the time of Jesus' death in order to get rid of the king that was born King of the Jews. And so Antipas also had innocent blood on his hands. He had John the Baptist executed. We heard about that in our reading from Mark chapter 6, verse 14 to 28, just a little bit earlier in this service. Let me paint the picture for us. John the Baptist reproved Herod Antipas for taking his brother's wife. That's adultery. And for all the other evil things that he had done. It was like Herod was a really good sermon illustration of how not to live. But Herodias, the wife he took, she took exception to this. Actually, she hated John the Baptist for this. And to please her, Herod had John arrested and locked up in prison. That wasn't enough for her. She wanted him dead. Eventually, an opportune day came when Herod celebrated his birthday with great pomp and with all the people of note in Galilee. It was quite a party. The entertainment package included a solo dance, which doubtlessly was very sensual, performed by none other than his stepdaughter. This pleased Herod so much, it was swept off his feet. And just there and then, he offered her half of his kingdom. This was a big prize, very big prize. And for this, the girl sought her mother's advice. Without hesitation, Herodias answered, "The head of John the Baptist." Compliantly, the girl said to Herod, "I want you to give me at once the head of the Baptist on a platter." This saddened Herod, but because he didn't want to lose face in front of all of his honored guests, he gave the orders. The execution was done swiftly, and so the girl was presented with her trophy. Herod prized his own ego more than the life of an innocent and holy servant of God. And his pleasure was more worth to him than half of his kingdom. Dear friends, this is the character of the man that we have to do with in our text today. What a wretched individual he was. An adulterer, a murderer, and a perverter of justice. Later on, when Jesus went on trial before Herod, this very Herod, he was more interested in being entertained by Jesus' miraculous power than doing his duty in serving justice. And when Jesus wouldn't play along with him, he and his soldiers had Jesus humiliated and paraded with clothes that are fancy and making fun of him. How sick We read about this in Luke chapter 23, verse 8 to 11. Knowing something about the character and the behavior of Herod Antipas, the question before us now is, what did he, as the ruler of Galilee, think of Jesus' ministry and his identity? Considering all that Jesus had done, who did Herod reckon that he was? For Herod's response, look with me at Luke chapter 9, verse 7b and 8. And he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. What was Herod's response? He was perplexed. He was confused, baffled. For the life of him, he couldn't work out the dilemma in his own head. He toyed with three possibilities. Firstly, Jesus is Elijah who reappeared. Elijah, remember, never died. A chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared, and Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind to the Lord, to heaven. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 5, the Lord promised to send Elijah the prophet before that great and terrible day of the Lord. So the guess was that perhaps Jesus is that Elijah that's been promised. The second possibility that was that Jesus was one of the other great prophets of the Old Testament who returned. Perhaps Moses, Jeremiah, or Elijah. Now, this doesn't mean that he was literally them, but he was like them. Second possibility. And then the third one that was front and center in Herod's mind was that Jesus was John the Baptist who rose back to life. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 3-2, this is what Herod said. This is Jesus is John the Baptist, who had been raised from the dead, and that is why he performs all these miracles. These were the popular opinions about Jesus. Prophet of old, Elijah, or one of the other big guns, or Jesus was John the Baptist come back to life. What do you think of it? At least all these options recognize that Jesus is from God. The people and Herod got that right. To their credit, they acknowledged that a mere earthly explanation for Jesus was not going to cut it. But then they were all wrong. They fell far short of who Jesus really is. It sounds a bit like society today, doesn't it? According to a survey done in 2019 by the National Church Life Survey, about 30% of Australians think Jesus was just a prophet or some spiritual leader or guru or something, but not God. Say 20% reckon that he was just a normal human being, an ordinary bloke like you and I. And about 25% either don't know or they think something really strange. Now, the striking thing about this result isn't just that the vast majority of Australians miss the mark about who Jesus really is, they also have a generally very low view of him, or they are woefully ignorant of who he is. Now, the thing about these populist opinions is that they don't require serious consideration of the biblical and historical facts about Jesus, or the implications of those facts. It's quite convenient to just play around with ideas about Jesus that are all faulty. Or to claim that one can't really know because of all these options. Statistically, how can we know? Even when the truth is added in there as one of the options. But why is it so convenient to speculate, to guess and to gamble about who Jesus is? Well, then one doesn't have to take his message very seriously, do we? Or so it seems. But what people don't realize is that not to respond in the right way to Jesus equals rejecting Jesus. How so? What is Jesus' basic message again? Kids, what's the good news that we all must embrace? The good news is this. Jesus is King, and He calls all to repent, believe, and follow Him. If they do, He saves them and gives them a place in His kingdom. And if they don't, by implication, they are shut out of the kingdom. Can you see that not to decide for Jesus or to delay the decision to choose for Him is exactly the same as choosing against Him? Both of those two categories lead exactly to the same place, damnation. Now let me ask you, do you make an earnest effort to ensure that you get Jesus' true identity right so that you can respond rightly to the gospel? It's very important that we do that. Well, Herod didn't. He didn't. He couldn't work out what to make of Jesus, and so he just left the matter unresolved. Have a look at Luke chapter 9, verse 9. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?" And so he sought to see him. It was like Herod's mind got caught between opinions, and it was killing him. On the one hand, Herod knew that John the Baptist was dead and buried. No doubt about that. He personally saw to it that John's head got chopped off and placed on a platter for all of his guests to see. On the other hand, there was this uncomfortable resemblance between Jesus' ministry and John's. And that just served to strengthen his suspicion that John, or that Jesus was John, raised back to life again. He couldn't shake off the thought, "John, whom I beheaded, has risen." And this spooked him. It haunted him. Why? Well, he committed an outrageous evil by putting a holy servant of God to death. And the closest he got to figure out who Jesus was that he was John the Baptist who came back to life. After murdering John so impulsively, so unjustly, one would have thought that Herod would have listened to his troubled conscience. One would have thought that Herod would get off his high horse and make an earnest attempt to get to know who Jesus actually was. The very Jesus whom John pointed Herod to. But alas, no. No. Yes, Herod wanted to see Jesus. But why? A little later in Luke chapter 13, verse 31, he sought to kill Jesus. Perhaps he wanted to kill John inside of Jesus again, in order to silence his conscience. And when Herod finally got the chance to see Jesus face to face as his judge. What did Herod do? He squandered the opportunity by treating Jesus with contempt. One wonders, what will Herod say for himself when it is his turn to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? One thing is sure, he wouldn't have any excuse for his ignorance and his indecision concerning Jesus, would he? There will be nothing to laugh about on that day, will there? When we pause and reflect on Herod's life, it's striking how reckless he was with his own conscience. When John the Baptist called out his sins, instead of acknowledging it and turning to God, he silenced the messenger of God by shutting him up in prison. So he ignored his conscience and pleased his sinful desires by pursuing his adulterous relationship. Then he compounded this evil by murdering God's innocent messenger who told him the truth. But this wickedness found him out. God's truth can't be silenced, imprisoned, or beheaded. With Jesus' ministry, John's message kept ringing like alarm bells in Herod's head. But instead of humbling himself and seeking God's mercy and forgiveness in Jesus, he continued to sear his conscience with his perverse behavior. We've noticed that at Jesus' trial, when Herod had a golden opportunity to see Jesus and speak with him and find a remedy for his guilty conscience, he blew it by treating Jesus shamefully in Jesus' hour of agony. Dear friends, let's not make the mistake that Herod made by not listening to his conscience and repenting before Jesus. Children, your conscience is a very, very precious thing. Adults, men, women, our consciences are precious. We should never be in the habit of ignoring it. By the way, kids, do you know what a conscience is? Our conscience is an inner awareness and a witness that God placed in us to help us to discern between right and wrong. We all have it. That's how God designed us. How does it work? When our thoughts, our words, and our actions don't align with God's moral standards, then our conscience accuses us. And when what we say, think, and do aligns with God's will, our conscience excuses us. Our conscience is like this. What is this? This is a smoke alarm. A smoke alarm is a little device that detects smoke. And then it sounds a loud signal as an early warning of a fire. By law, we all have to have them in our homes. We put them in our ceilings, between the living spaces and where our bedrooms are. Now, what do we do when the alarm goes off like this? Do we ignore it? No, we respond immediately, don't we? We find the source of the smoke and we deal with it. And if we can't deal with it because the fire is too big, then we flee for our lives. And so smoke alarms save lives, don't they? But what we don't do is to ignore the alarm. Or worse even, to disconnect it from the power source. Or take out the batteries. Or let the batteries run flat. That is irresponsible, is it not? Similarly, our consciences, when they trouble us, we need to turn to the Lord in prayer and follow His instructions in His Word. Does your conscience trouble you this morning? Have you been behaving a little bit like Herod? Indulging in sin, shunning Jesus? Have you been tolerating your own indiscriminate, lustful, hateful, prideful, shameful behavior? Well, Jesus is the only one who can purify our conscience from dead works in order to serve the living God. How does He do it? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Don't be a Herod and squander your opportunity to be made right with God through faith and repentance. In closing, who is this Jesus about whom Herod heard all these things? A prophet of old that made a comeback? Or John the Baptist who rose from the dead? That's what Herod thought. What do you think? But more importantly, what does God think? We don't have to guess. The answer is in Luke chapter 3, verse 32. The Father said it to Jesus with a loud voice from heaven. You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit sealed it by descending on Jesus in bodily form like a dove and remaining on Him. This is Jesus' true identity. Jesus is God's unique Son, who shares in His nature and who is His chosen, beloved, anointed, and empowered one. In short, is the Messiah, the Son of living God, of the living God, which is exactly what we will see the apostles and the disciples come to confess. The true identity of Jesus isn't difficult to figure out. It isn't difficult to get it right. It's just sometimes people don't want to acknowledge it because they don't want to bow before His majesty and forsake their sinful ways. It's not an intellectual issue. It's a moral and spiritual issue. So if someone sells this high convoluted stuff, oh, you just can't know. It's not the issue. The issue is in the heart. It's a spiritual and a moral issue. That's where the problem sits. But we've seen how a failure to put one and one together when it comes to Jesus leads to a messed up conscience and a more depraved life. Is that not true? Yes, Herod was interested in Jesus, but not to hear His message, which was also John the Baptist's message. You see, Herod was more interested in being entertained by Jesus, His miracles. How horrible! He had every opportunity to turn and find life in Jesus, but he didn't. In God's providence, He put him over the place where Jesus was ministering. It's so tragic. He came so close And yet he was so, so far from the Lord. This will happen to people that we know. But let it not be us. Let us not be Herods. As we enter this festive season, let us not get lost in all the buzz and the excesses of Christmas. But let us remember that it's about Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world. And let us worship Him. Let's worship Him. Amen.